Barely good afternoon, everyone. It's 12:05 p.m., Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. It's a Ken Braverman podcast. Give me 50 seconds and you won't regret it. Okay, so under a minute here. I've been rather angry. It's been brought to my attention, and also, yeah, I realized it too. I've been really angry. I haven't been making jokes. I've been putting out a lot of bad pod, a lot of unlistenable pod. And duly noted, and you guys are all correct that have said that. Now, in the next 30 seconds, I'll say this. I'm going to stop talking about political stuff for a while. there's only so much I can do. And I only do it and get so emotional simply because it is so profoundly disturbing to see what exists, what's going on. I feel like if people knew, they would also be so profoundly upset that they would not allow this to stand. But it's neither here nor there, and I'm going to put out listenable pod. We're a minute in, so here we go. Okay. All right. We're fine. I'm not a crazy person either, just because I sound crazy. Anyway. All right. Tons of things to talk about. It's going to be fun pod, because I know how to podcast. You can't let your emotions totally take over when you get a myopic view of something. And you noticed I was kind of looking through my YouTube feed, where I get a lot of media, and you know, it changes whenever someone else takes over your YouTube account. So last weekend, my son hijacked my phone for about 2 or 3 days. And so it was nothing but Minecraft videos popping up in my YouTube feed, because that's what he's sitting and using when I'm driving in the car. Does anybody else use the phones in the car with their kids? Or am I a bad parent for doing that? I think it's fine. I think he gets exposed to information and it's helpful. But what's intriguing about that is that when you have a kind of a self-reinforcing algorithm that is kicking back material that you already enjoy, right? Oh, I like this type of movie. I like Orange is the New Black, so I'm going to see, Nurse Jackie or whatever, the other shows that are similar to that on Netflix. It's going to roll together, right? Well, YouTube does the same thing. And I've been so heavily into news, and specialized type of news, it's picking up keywords, that I'm getting reinforced and hit with all this stuff so repeatedly that it just makes me angrier and angrier and angrier in this, you know, closed off reverberating room. I see all these injustices. And that's why I think it causes you to be overly emotional, because I kind of pick up the phone and start potting after seeing an accumulation of a lot of information. And I just want to spit it all out and say, how can anyone who sees this not want to act and not stand for what currently is existing? But anyway, it makes for bad pod. So I want to talk about things that make for good pod, and really what the podcast is supposed to be about, which is solving problems and talking about great information and helpful knowledge that you find all over the web. So looking through the YouTube feed, I was like, all right, yeah, I haven't been digging into things I enjoy and want to talk about more. So also another thing I was looking through, which I highly recommend, is inside.com. I subscribe to inside.com's newsletters. They have newsletters on a variety of topics. There's an inside podcasting one. There's an inside automotive one, which I will get into in a minute here. And there's just a regular one. They really put together, you know, your top 8 or 10 stories of the day, a nice blurb about them. You can roll through that in a few minutes and also dig into something that you find amazing that you probably had never heard of. It's a really good concoction of all types of different stories. So let me talk about Inside Automotive for a second. Inside Automotive's newsletter kind of expands upon what's going on in the electric car industry and car industry in general, but most of it is I think heavily skewed toward the electric car market, as the electric cars seem to be the future, either hydrogen fuel cell or electric. And electric is continually becoming more visible and penetrating markets all across the world in different areas. And the batteries are only getting more powerful. So it seems to skew more electric. And, it's always been a dream of mine to want to own a Tesla at some point. And the Model 3 has just come out. And so all these articles or blurbs that are coming through on the newsletter are all referencing Tesla, and some of them are positive and some of them are critical of Tesla as well. You know, Elon Musk says that pumping out a Model 3 at $35,000 a year will bleed the company dry, basically, right? Or will kill the company because the costs are much higher now, and they put a lower price tag on it, but this economy of scale doesn't really play itself out for a long period of time. And in a way, you can tell he's trying to bring a car out to the masses that's affordable, even though the company might not be able to afford it. And in the short term, fine. But there's nothing wrong, by the way, with operating a company like that. Running on your shoelaces, the company, Jeff Bezos has done this for almost 20 years, operating with almost no profit like he does with Amazon, but continually reinvesting and pushing and winning the battle in the media, having people want. You know, it's a trophy to own a Tesla still. It has not become so ubiquitous that, you know, they're the McDonald's of electric cars. Nobody looks at them like that. Anybody still wants to have a Tesla and they're super cool and great to drive, right? Now, even though I don't think I've ever actually driven one, I've been in many, but I've never driven one myself. Wow, I need to do that. Anyway, so the Model 3... electric cars in general, selling them for less than it's costing to make them, which Elon's clearly doing with the Model 3 right now, is still okay. And I'll explain why. The transition that's occurring in the automotive industry is tied to a few different things, right? And you can see it in the driverless cars that are being tested a lot on the West Coast and all over the country, really. And how you're hearing some stories about, oh, a driverless car killed someone in Arizona. Like, a driverless car was going on a road 40, 50 miles an hour, and it identified a person that was crossing in front of it, and its software read that scenario as don't swerve out of the way and hit it and ignore it. And when you really think about what that statement means, you know, you're saying that we're at the point now where we're programming cars to drive themselves, and they're smart enough to identify not only road markings and signs and barricades and construction zones, but down to the level of people and even bugs and animals and Lord knows what else. The advancements and the enhancements of the software technology that's going to be written and applied in all of our vehicles in the near future, when you look at the scale of driving here, within the next decade, I think every new car is going to have to come with some type of driver assist software on it, the same way that they come with backup cameras now. And we'll all demand it because it will lead to a safer world. You won't have accidents like the Canadian hockey, junior hockey team or midget hockey team, or how old were they? The hockey team in Canada with the bus accident and destroying an entire town. These types of things, I think it was a school bus also in New Jersey, there were fatalities. Just really, it's happening all the time. The more we see these stories about accidents happening, knowing that if all these cars were equipped with driver assist technology, not completely driverless, but driver assist that helps control you if you're about to make a deadly decision, or someone's making a deadly decision in front of you and you're not reacting to it. A driver assist and add-on to all vehicles is going to become mandatory because we just won't tolerate these types of deaths when they are avoidable by the algorithms we've created to drive ourselves. So back to the incident in Arizona where the car actually identified someone and hit them still. Well, I think that we have a learning curve on exactly what type of sensors we want to put on all our vehicles, how much information we want to retain from the outside world as they are driving, and how we want to assimilate, organize, and process that information into actions of the vehicle. What all that means in English is, how effective do we want our driverless cars to be? Do we want them to not only pick up whether pedestrians are crossing the road in front of us, but also like whether there's a pothole on the road that needs to be fixed and whether we should report it to the county, whether there is a man urinating in his front lawn on the right-hand side because there's a LiDAR camera going off in every direction and picking up images and seeing that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have these cars be doing everything when you're equipping your vehicles with highly sensitive sensors, highly, you know, when you're when you have essentially cameras on all your vehicles, think about it that way. Think about it as a human eye instead of the more complex LiDAR or radar or sonar or whatever it's going to be using to track things. Just think of it as regular cameras on your car all the time, the same way that the Google Street View vehicles have been rolling around. Well, if you're going to be having that capability on all your vehicles, because that is what we are going to demand to save lives. And also for ease of use too. Like I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I've got a 94-year-old grandpa that demands a lot of our time because he will go out and drive if we don't stop him from driving. It would be so much nicer if we didn't have to worry about that and the car just drove him where he needed to go. And we were under the security of that driverless vehicle's technology and not of an aging relative. Or, hey, maybe a crazy teenager, right? Who doesn't want to have some type of automated system helping to protect your 16-year-old son from going out and trying to, you know, get some air 80 miles an hour over that hump, you know, it's a couple miles away from the house that you can fly over, like Dukes of Hazzard style. Who doesn't want to have a car that prevents him from doing that? A car that actually topographically understands where all where all the places you could get air on a road are and actually will stop your vehicle from speeding 20 miles an hour over the speed limit in that area because it knows it's dangerous. That's the level of protective care and autonomy in the control of our vehicles that we should plan on expecting in the near future. A vehicle, fortunately, that will know if you're drunk or inebriated when you get into the vehicle and may put you in a different status when you are driving. Maybe there will be statuses where you could be in old school normal driving status. We call it old school pickup truck status. You just got a pickup truck with a dog, a tin of chew, a cigarette, and a stick shift, and you can be doing whatever you want and there's no control. There could be that mode. And then there could also be modes where they won't let you do that. It's like, hey, guess what? Oh, you just finished watching the Caps hopefully beat Tampa Bay tonight. Come on, crossing your fingers. You just had a few beers watching a Game 7 Eastern Conference hockey final. We know you've had a few too many Yinglings. We're putting you in driverless mode on the way home. Like, you should have put yourself automatically in driverless mode. Sorry, Ken. But we detect that there's some alcohol in your bloodstream. Unfortunately, we'll not allow you to operate the vehicle now. Sending you home. That's the way it's going to be. And that's fine. That's fine. We should learn to accept that we're losing some degree of privacy for the safety of others and ourselves. So let me get back to some money here. So the Tesla issue of selling a Tesla that is under its cost to produce right now and mass producing it and trying to get out to the masses, while it sounds like it financially might not be a great decision, the branding that is occurring and the penetration of the market that Elon will experience from this in the press is actually all going to be a great thing. And here's the deal. If you're using an electric vehicle and you've got batteries and you've got a lot of parts that don't operate and combust and have oil residue and all the things, all the different types of wear and tear that would usually normally occur on a combustion oil-based vehicle, petroleum-based vehicle, one that you literally need to put oil into, a dirty car. If you don't have that situation and your parts are more interchangeable, people, you can see, you know, nobody really knows the true lifespan of a Tesla vehicle. It could honestly just be like a Lego set that you keep fixing up and making better. And they could be on the road essentially forever because you just pop a new battery in it and a new something else and it's worth it, right? There's going to be an upgrade process. And I believe Elon will eventually start some type of subscription service where as Tesla breaks out new software, new addition, some of these might even be what I would consider to be firmware, which in a way, like imagine Tesla came out with a cooler new door, like somebody patented a new way to open the door because doors stink. I always, you ever shut a door on your ankle or you can't push it over because it's too heavy or what? He's already done some things to make his opening of his doors easier, but say they come up with a crazy new door that fits into most of their old cars, but it's just a brand new door. He might offer some type of premium subscription service where you pay Tesla, you know, like $100 a month. And whenever a crazy new thing comes out, all his premium subscribers get it. Like, you bring your Tesla in and he pops these crazy new doors on it, and you've got some souped up new door that only you and a few hundred other people have or something like that. I totally see that there's a way that keeping your Tesla new and fresh and clean, so fresh and so clean, keeping your Tesla like that is going to be something everybody wants to do. You're going to look at your vehicle as almost like a home and not as a car anymore that's disposable after a couple of years. Nobody's going to lease cars anymore. Like, you're going to want yours because it's going to be yours and it's going to be customized. And there are certainly availabilities for subscription type services to a car company that you would never have thought of before that people will want with their awesome electric cars. So I love everything Elon is doing, and I'm glad you want to hear a Ken in a happier mood and talking about the great things that are happening in the world. I'm glad that I was able to talk to some friends and family who both are like, dude, you are too angry. What is wrong with you? And I understand why. And I need to stop talking about that. There's only so much I can do. And unless I need to speak up because something has happened, I'm going to lay off of it and let law enforcement do their job and let everyone, I guess, find out for it on their own. Because it's not healthy. It's not healthy. And there's a whole big world out there. My goal was always to talk about that big old world as soon as he is gone, as soon as he's no longer in office. But I guess you can't really wait that long. We don't have these days back. So let's start living those days now instead of focusing on the negative. I've already learned enough. I don't need to learn any more about that. So feeling good. Anyway, what else is coming down the pike? I was thinking, we'll see if I actually do this. I was thinking of going down to, there's a butterfly museum here in Florida. I'm not sure how far it is. I was thinking of going down there and taking a picture, maybe shave. The goatee is still growing long. Shave saying, tonight's game is giving me ... And I have a picture of like 800 butterflies behind me at the butterfly museum. I think that would be pretty cool. Because the hockey game is giving me butterflies. So, I don't know. Ken Braverman's out. We'll see if it happens. Go Caps.